This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 55, sponsored by Comicole.com.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her tap was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have room with Coca-Cola. She said, fine.
Hi, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 55. My name's Connor, I'm with Josh.
Hello.
And remotely from California is Ron.
Hey, I'm in San Francisco. It's fun.
You sound thrilled.
Yes, I am thrilled. I can't wait to be home. I'm coming home tonight, actually. So,
where are you currently?
I'm currently sitting in the hotel lobby of the hotel I've been staying at.
So this is what I'm telling you, people out there right now going, well, it doesn't sound very good. He's in a hotel lobby doing this. So what that means is that people are walking by him and going, did he just say Batman something?
I've got comics spread out all in front of me on the table, in front of me, and my laptop. I look like the video. It's quite interesting. So anyway, why are we here? What's the point of this? Why am I on the phone?
Oh, we are iFanboy.com, and we like comics. We read comics, and every week, one of us reads through their bunch of comics, and they pick the best one. They write about it on the website, and then we talk about it in this podcast, and then we babble on about other crap for a while. Before we get to the show, we want to remind everybody it's a review show, so there's going to be spoilers, so don't come crying to us when we talk about what happened in the book this week.
You're kind of mean.
You should pause the show and finish your books and then finish listening after you're done. Josh, take it away.
All right. This is no nonsense.
No.
All right. This week I picked Fables number 55, which is appropriate for our 55th episode. What I would say would be people were pretty happy on the site. They've been waiting for this one.
I'm sorry.
And the two guys who do this with me couldn't care less because neither of them read it, and that's a damn crime.
I'm sorry.
I mean, to clarify, it's like you, when we were talking, you said that you thought we'd be disappointed that you picked it, and it's not the case of disappointment; it's just indifferent.
That's almost worse.
Well, I saw Josh on Thursday, the day after he wrote his pick, and I was like, "Great, thanks, wonderful. It's gonna be a great show. It'll be really thrilling. Nothing to talk about."
You know, you're not even trying. I have to listen to your superhero crap. No, I'm kidding.
Give me a break. Don't even complain about that.
That was me a year ago. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about X-Men,
yeah.
The End, Book 3, man. I'm like, what the hell is this crap? House of M. What is that? The brief story on my Fables-itude is that I bought the first probably 10 or 15 issues. I read the first like 8 and then I stopped reading it, but my wife kept reading it, so I kept buying them for her, and then she stopped reading it too. I don't really know why. And I kind of got bored with it for some reason. It wasn't really that it was bad, it wasn't that anything, I just at that time wasn't interested. And then a few years go by and people start hearing it a lot more, and I heard some interviews with Bill Willingham, the writer, and I began to get interested again because I think I was, you know, just hearing that it was getting really, really good. And so I went back and I reread all the stuff that I had, and I dug them all out, and I found myself interested again, so I went and I bought a couple of trades, and I basically caught up to get on issue, and about 4 months ago I got back on issue, and I really agree, it's one of the best ongoings going on right now, and I don't know why you two don't want to read it.
Well, for the uninitiated, what is the premise of Fables?
Basically Fables, and this sounds hokier than it is, so I can understand why you may think, oh, I don't want to read that. But the idea is that all of the characters of Fables, meaning, you know, in legal terms, the public domain characters that he doesn't have to pay anyone to use, people like Snow White and Little Boy Blue and the Big Bad Wolf and Pinocchio have all ended up...
Wait a minute. Did you just say the Big Bad Wolf?
Yeah, he's one of the main characters. His name is Bigby Wolf.
But do they call him, like, BB Wolf or something like
it's,
that? Or, like,
it's
or
Big
do they call
B.
him, hey, Big Bad Wolf?
It's Bigby. Like, that's his first name, B-I-G-B-Y. He's a great character. He's kind of a Wolverine knockoff, but he's a really cool character. I swear to God. See, this is the thing. You won't even believe me.
This sounds horrible.
Oh, God, this is pushing water uphill, you bastards. Anyway, so they've escaped. Their homeland got taken over by the adversary, and that was one of the big mysteries of the book for a really long time. Who was it that did this?
When do the hobbits show up?
They don't, because they're owned by the Tolkien family, you see.
Okay.
And they end up in our world, and there's a little society that they've set up. They live on one street in New York City, and there's all these, like, sort of rules of their society. It's all really well thought out and planned, and there's not a lot of places where you can nitpick this book and go, this doesn't make sense, because Willingham's really put a lot of effort into the overall framework of the book. And
is Little Red Riding Hood in it?
Yeah, she is.
Is she a dirty tramp?
Is she hot?
Yeah. She
You'd
is.
Think she would be.
She's definitely naked in one part.
Oh, good.
She has sex with somebody.
With Little Boy Blue?
Actually, yes.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
And to get away. Little Boy Blue the one, is Little Boy Blue the one that stuck his finger in the dike?
Okay. Moving along.
No, the pie. Me?
Still moving along.
It's the little Dutch boy who stuck his finger in the dike.
I just
That's
feel
what it is,
uncomfortable. Right? Anyway,
you're the one reading the book. We don't read this.
It's a good, but you'll be reading it. Trust me. I'll find some way. Oh, you'll like it. The thing is, though, like even if they, I'll tell you all the listeners now. Even if they won't like it, they won't tell me, and they'll act like they don't like it. So I'll never get any satisfaction
out of this.
That's
true. Look, keep talking. I gotta bounce my checkbook.
Okay. So a lot of stuff has happened because we're 55 issues into it, and it's one of those big ongoing stories. And basically, this issue. In the last issue was the story about how the adversary's evil hordes of creatures would take over the Earth. And it was one of those things that was really, really well thought out in the sense of... do you guys remember in like, the Lord of the Rings movies when they laid siege to the castle? and all of the mechanisms like made a lot of sense. Like first they would send the arrows, and then they would put the ladders up against it, and then
yeah, it was well thought out.
It was like that. It was a whole issue of how they would sort of destroy the Earth's population and things like that. And then this issue was the response to that. It was basically one of the characters explaining what would really happen, and basically it was about how the military of the world would actually have a chance against all the magical creatures and things like that in the homelands, and how they would win.
That's cool.
This battle. And it's something that really sort of it makes sense, and it's interesting because it would be really easy for them to just go, oh, a magician would show up and destroy all the humans, but they sort of he gives some credit to human technology to say that, you know, well, we have pretty badass military and soldiers and stuff, and given that, you know, like the fables who have magic and things like that have never actually seen technology, and they wouldn't know how to deal with, say, a tank or a nuclear weapon or something like that.
But they're living in New York.
No, but there's two worlds. There's the New York, which is where the fables escaped. The fables who escaped the adversary taking over their home world ended up in New York. And see, the idea of the adversary is taking over all of these different worlds, and the next one he's going to take over would be Earth, which is where all the fables escaped to.
Ron, are you following this?
All right, and we're back. Okay, we're not going to lie to you. There was a little technical difficulty, and we've kicked Ron off of his phone, and we've put him on his laptop mic, which isn't so bad.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had a headset, and I could use my laptop for Skype. I'm sorry.
Okay, back away from the mic a little.
Okay.
we're going to give this a try, but bear in mind, he's still in the lobby of a hotel.
Yeah, so bear with me. I'm in an alcove where there are payphones, so hopefully nobody will come in. I'm giving people dirty looks when they do.
Is anybody looking funny at you?
No, well, right now I'm alone, so before they were, though.
It's because he records the podcast without pants. Yeah. Anyway, as
that,
I was
that wasn't funny.
No. Well, a drum roll rarely follows something that is.
Yeah, no.
Well. As I was saying, Fables is a very good book. and I don't know why you two don't read it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's my statement on it, is that it's not for lack of quality in the book. I'm sure the book is very good. I've heard good things about the book from you and from Josh and from others. It's just that I'm completely indifferent to it. I have no interest in it. You know, like it's like, you know, like movies come out like Master and Commander that I had no desire to see.
Great
I just can't
movie.
Explain it. Yeah, but I know no
Great
desire.
Great books.
No desire. No Ugh. Desire. And I'm sure it's good, and I'm sure I'm missing out on something great. But I want to make it clear to everybody that it's not. I'm not saying it sucks. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not even going after the little fairies and the big bad wolf and the talking and Jack be nimble, Jack be quick shit that's written in it. that would be too easy to do that. I mean, I'm not even going
Jack,
there.
Jack has his own book, Jack of Fables.
Oh, is it truly Jack be nimble?
Well, he's the idea is that he's all of the Jacks. Like, he's Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack Be Nimble, he's Jack Be Quick, he's like the greatest fable of all time, and he was a normal character in the regular one, and then he left that book, never to return, and he started his own series, which is also very good, and it's just started, so if you wanted to pick that up, you could.
Okay, the more I hear about it, the more I'm tempted to go to the easy jokes. But I'm gonna rise above, and I'm not gonna make fun of he's all the Jacks. But yeah, no, I mean, if I never read this book, I don't think I will be any different. You know, like, I don't feel as if it's crucial to my life.
You might read the book, is all I'm saying.
Oh, what, in an upcoming holiday, perhaps?
I don't know.
Yay.
Oh, a comic book! Thanks! I needed something to read. No, I just finished another book, and now I need something else to read. Thank you so much! A sweater! Wow, socks!
So anyway, the book artist is Mark Buckingham, and
oh, thank you! Oh, this is great! I can't wait.
Mark Buckingham's a very good artist. He can do big. See, I sound dumb. But
I needed a tie. I needed a tie back.
I need nice shirts for work. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you. I'm so glad you ignored that list I gave you. Because I really needed a pair of slacks. Sorry.
Are those polyester slacks? Because I feel like when you say slacks, they've got to be polyester.
Slacks!
Okay, now, we have a contact at iFanboy address, but I don't want to get the letters for this. So just send it to Ron and Connor. They've got their own email addresses.
Oh, thank you!
Find them on the really, site.
This is really thoughtful. I really thank you. I hope you like my present.
You guys know Mark Buckingham, right?
I've heard the name.
Spider-Man?
I think DC had him chained to the table at the con this summer.
Yeah, him.
He
does great action scenes that are you know, big and dynamic, and he does really good interpersonal scenes with characters' faces and things like that, with just people talking. He's great at that. So,
isn't there something else that you really like about him?
His camera angles.
There's no camera involved.
These are accepted terms in the language.
Yeah, no, but
of comic books.
I think, but when it's wrong and
you
we just
what?
Perpetuate
talk,
it, then
talk,
it just.
Talk. This is from the guy who's like who doesn't want to read it because you're self perpetuating.
I'm just saying, camera angles. There is actually just angles.
There's no camera involved in the process of making.
Your
comic
theory
books.
Works against itself in the fact that, like, what happens is when you decide you don't like something, then you become obstinate against it, though, and you refuse to try it. At a certain point,
I don't think I've ever said camera angles.
I'm not talking about that anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're like, talking about something. We're switching gears. Okay.
Like Elaine with The English Patient.
I hated The English Patient. I wish I hadn't seen that movie. Elaine was right. I wish I'd listened to Elaine.
But this isn't that. Oh,
I'm so confused.
Can we talk about another book?
Sure.
God, we've been doing this for a year and we still suck at it. Ron, what's a book that you like that no one else did?
Phonogram number 3.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I'm not alone. Am I alone? I'm not alone.
This was actually a pretty good issue.
I'm actually starting to hate this book.
Why are you hating the book?
No reason.
This issue was really good. I was a little worried when Phonogram number 2 came out, and if you noticed, I was a little quiet when it came out. We didn't even mention it.
It kind of
trailed off the quality that issue number 1 had. But issue number
3 was happening.
Issue number 3, yeah, no, that's the thing. And issue number 3 came back with a really strong issue that moved the story along without being too hokey and magic and, like, being too confusing. And I get the idea of where the story's going, and it was just really well done, really well done.
The second half of the book was actually really quite good. It was actually clear, and I knew what was going on, and I knew some of the songs. So this is the first comic book to ever get a song stuck in my head.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good song, too, a damn good song.
Common People?
Yep, by Pulp. But yeah, it was. And how good was Jamie McKelvey's art?
That guy, he's great.
He's good.
He's right up there, I think. And he reminds me of Adrian Tomine, but with a little bit more, I guess, energy to it.
I can see that. I can see that
because Tomine's work is very, it's depressing. There it is. I've said it.
One of the criticisms about the book, which I got at the comic store as I was purchasing my books this week, is that it's a book showing off how cool this guy is and how much cooler he is than you.
You see, now I can understand that, but I don't agree with that. I was actually this because I'm in San Francisco and I went to Isotope to buy my books, and I was talking to one of the guys who was shopping in the store as well as James, and we were talking about that. And I like the fact that glossary or the appendix is in the back, that what Karen's doing with that, explaining it for people who don't understand Britpop. And I don't think this is a way to prove how cool they are, because I think it moves the story along. I think it has a place within the story. It's not like Matt Fraction's Casanova that is making references and then acknowledging the references mid-story, you know, in this kind of postmodern kind of way, you know. Mm-hmm. I could see where somebody who doesn't get Britpop or is snarky about things like music and stuff like that, that would say that, make that observation, but I don't agree with it. So that's just me. Of course, I'm loyal to the Britpop, so that's why I'm a little biased.
It speaks to you, but it probably doesn't speak to everybody.
Right, yeah, but the thing is that a lot of the book has to deal with the main character dealing with his past, something from his past, something and someone from his past, and that past happens to be in that time period, and that time period of that music within that time period was not only a large music movement, it also shaped a lot of what this character is and what his world was, and that could be said. I mean, that could be said for music. I mean, this same book could be written about Seattle in the late 80s, early 90s, or D.C. in the early 80s, or California in the late 60s. You know, like, the concept isn't that, you know, heady, that it doesn't have to be Britpop. Like, Britpop isn't the reason for this book. Does that make sense, sir?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd like to point out that in the glossary itself, the last page, with the "and finally" section, where he writes about what he was listening to while writing the book.
Yes.
He listened twice to Shatner's Common People and not Pulp's Common People.
Interesting. Nice. Good observation there. Well, Shatner's Common People is good, but the original is the best, you know? So, it's really...
They've fought over this before, and it's
a good song. The fight's kind of lost us, though.
They're both good, but I like it.
Yeah.
Did you like the cover?
The cover was awesome. The cover, I hope they do something with collecting these covers in like either some sort of prints or posters or some sort of thing, because these covers are awesome.
Ron, for Christmas, I'm going to buy you the original cover art.
Really? Wait until issue 4 or 5, because that's when they do an homage to one of my favorite Britpop albums of all time, Suede's first record, self-titled.
I'm not going
to
buy you the original cover art.
He's not.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you!
Original cover art!
I could put this on my wall!
I'd buy you the original Fables art, but it's really expensive because people like the book.
Well, if you waited online in San Diego, you could have gotten a sketch.
Yeah, I didn't.
But Dear God, we talk about another book.
Oh, but no, wait, before we talk about another book and still talk about music, I just need to mention that I went out with the crew at Isotope last night, and they took me to a bar where a band performed all of Prince's Purple Rain album with ukuleles, and it was amazing.
It doesn't sound like anything I'd want to hear.
No, it
sounds like the best thing ever, actually.
Honestly, how I could describe it was a little better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, it was really fucking cool. It was really cool. So if you're ever in San Francisco, and I forget what the band's called, but they play ukuleles, and they're just awesome. It was amazing. So on to comics. Actually, I'm going to drop off because I need to get to the airport. So I'll let you guys carry on with the rest of the show. Before I leave, there was one other book I just wanted to talk about. Was Franklin Richards' Happy Franksgiving, I believe it was called, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. You're the one recommending it.
I don't have it. I packed all my comics up, so I don't have them in front of me anymore.
I'm in the lobby of a hotel. I don't have my books.
I'm a jet setter.
Hey, Connor, do you know where I'm staying?
The Westin?
Hotel for rich people.
It's a new year. We retired that bit. That was last year.
Anyway, so Chris Eliopoulos wrote and drew this book, and it's basically just Calvin and Hobbes with Franklin Richards and Herbie the robot. But it's a lot of fun, and it's a funny book. I mean, it's a comic book. It made me laugh out loud a couple times, and it's totally all ages. You could recommend it you can give it to kids if you have kids, or if you have some sort of exposure.
Kids.
If you have some sort of exposure to kids and don't expose yourself to kids like
my
Connor
exposure
does.
To kids is of streaking on the subway. I'm trapped in that car with them.
Well, give them this comic and they'll shut them up.
All right.
But anyway, it was really good. It was a lot of fun, and it's steeped in Fantastic Four lore and Marvel World and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. So I dug it.
So Chris Eliopoulos did the letter of everything.
Yeah, well, he's a great letterer.
And he did Desperate Times, which originally appeared in the back of Savage Dragon, right?
Yeah, and then it was his own title, and from there, yeah. But it was really a lot of fun. I don't feel as if it gets enough attention. You know, I probably would have picked it for my pick this week if I was on pick duty.
Cool. So, and then I would have sat here and glazed over and said I didn't care.
Exactly. Really, this Pick of the Week podcast is just becoming a way for the three of us to get at each other. It's like, how can I make Josh uncomfortable for an hour? Let me make him talk about a book he doesn't like.
There's lots of ways to make me more uncomfortable than that. All right, you're out of here, right, punk.
I got to go catch my cab. I'll see you guys. Enjoy the rest of the show. I'll talk
to
you next week.
Bye. Well, that's all from him. Remind us to never do that again.
If you people only knew.
Connor's all pissy because we've crashed a few times.
Let's talk about Batman.
That'll make you happy, right?
Yeah.
It didn't make you happy?
It was weird.
All right, go ahead.
I really like this storyline, this whole Talia's kid with the Batman storyline, and last issue he kicked the shit out of Robin, and he did something to Alfred, and he wants to be Batman's partner, and this is the issue that resolves that whole storyline in a way that's very similar to the old Batman stories, where often the villain would quote unquote die at the end, but you'd never really know if they were dead or not. Mm-hmm. And they're clearly not dead. But my biggest problem with it is the previous issue, this kid beats the crap out of Robin, throws him down, you know, through a pane of glass. He's all hurt, and Batman really isn't all that upset about it.
You could say he's playing his cards close to the vest.
Yeah, but considering his history with injured Robins, it's a sore spot.
All right, I see what you're saying.
It's a button. And
however, though, it could be said that this is a different style of Batman.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that totally. I like the big rocket.
Mm-hmm. How good was that? When Batman was like, you didn't know about the rocket.
Yeah, he's apparently got a big rocket somewhere that he can fly to the lower atmosphere.
And he was wearing a special suit. It was pressure suit Batman. You never see that in the comics anymore.
No. I don't mind all this stuff. The adventurous sort of 80s style Batman that was always going overseas to fight Ra's al Ghul. And I like all that stuff. It's cool throwback, but I just figured he'd be more upset about the whole Robin and Alfred too. I mean, it wasn't just Robin; it was Alfred.
Alfred wasn't hurt though.
He was, but he wasn't as hurt as bad.
Hmm. At least
it was good. It was
at least
good.
Alfred didn't talk like an idiot this week.
That's true.
Yeah. Let me ask you one thing though.
Mm-hmm.
Who this guy can draw the pants off of out of these pages?
This Kubrick kid's got a future.
They should name a school after him.
It's almost like he went to a school. Some sort of school for art.
It's like he's from some sort of legacy of some kind of fantastic. But seriously, this is like the best. This is the best work that he's done.
Yes.
In a long time. There's some great pages.
You know what else is great is the return of the Double H Batman grunt.
Which is his own version of Herm.
Yes.
You know what? I had fun with this.
I liked it. I just thought that part was weird. Just the fact that he didn't.
I can see what you're saying. But
other than that, it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those classic kind of endings. Now, listen, I don't want to have this kind of comic book forever.
No.
But for a little while. It's nice. It's refreshing.
However long Grant Morrison can sustain his schedule.
But whichever Kubert this is, I don't even know which. Let's see. It's Andy. He's really kicking the pants off of me. I really dig his work.
Unfortunately, he's not drawing the next issue.
Oh, is Morrison writing it?
Yes.
Okay. Damn. Well, whatever. He can have a pass. I don't care. It's good.
Yeah. The other good book, another good book this week was Doctor Strange number 2.
How much fun was this?
I love this cranky old son of a bitch Doctor Strange.
It's like Silver Age comics, but mixed enough with modern comics that it doesn't feel antiquated.
Yeah, I love this art.
Yeah, it's great. And the pages are colored in such a way that they almost look like they're older pages that have faded a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the color is sort of washed out, pale.
Yeah,
it's definitely not as striking as you get most modern comics where it's all photoshopped to death.
Mm-hmm.
This is very sort of old school. And I love. I mean, it's kind of the. I know you don't like the show, but it's kind of the House Syndrome where the main character is just an ass.
I don't like the show. I don't not like the show. I've never actually watched it. I've watched.
No, all right. I know, but I mean, no, you've seen it. But he's very much like this. Like he's just an angry, you know, ass of a man. And they're actually very similar in that Dr. House on TV is angry because his leg is bad, and Dr. Strange is angry because his hands are bad.
Well, you know what? Having really never read a lot of Dr. Strange before this, like I'd seen him pop up and stuff, but
right. It's
a good series. Like, you don't have to know anything going into
it. No, not at all. I don't really know much about him either. I never read those 70s Dr. Stranges that every comic creator seems to worship. Mm-hmm. And I only ever knew him when he popped up as a guest star in like an Avengers story.
And he talked like a doofus. So
yeah, but this is very cool. I mean, I didn't know that his hands were bad.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's been a lot of fun. It's light stuff. It's nothing heavy.
And I even buy the Night Nurse. Like,
yeah,
a few years ago when they either brought her back or created her. I don't remember.
Gail Simone.
I thought it was kind of hokey, but I buy her in this.
Yeah, I'm digging it. It's a good read. You read bullet points from some prompting on the site, I believe.
Well, I have to give it up to Chris Morley from iFanboy, one of the users. He sort of goaded me into buying bullet points. I hadn't had it on my list, and he talked it up a lot on the site to the point where I was intrigued. And I have to say, this is probably the best book of the week for me.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
What? I don't even know what it is.
Well, first of all, let me just get this out of the way. The art by Tommy Lee Edwards is fantastic. It's sort of pseudo-realistic style, but very sketchy. It's like there's no doubt it's comic book art, but it's also in the realistic style. It can have like sort of a Stuart Immonen style from before he went very cartoony. And I really dig that kind of thing. But the main thing is there was a two issue prestige mini like 5 years ago. I don't think you read, called The Nail from DC.
I did. Alan Davis.
This is like Marvel's version of The Nail.
Oh, that was great, by the way.
The premise of The Nail was that one nail could change the DC universe in that the Kents got a flat tire and never picked up Clark when he crash landed on Earth, and somebody else did, and just the ramifications of that, how this one insignificant thing could change the whole universe. And this, it's a bullet. And the story is what happens. Instead of basically when Captain America was created originally, his doctor was killed right away. So there was no more Captain America. There was only the one Captain America because the doctor had the formula for the secret serum in his head.
Right.
In this, it's instead of him being killed after the serum's injected, he's killed the day before. So there's no serum. Steve Rogers doesn't get injected with the serum. And it's the dominoes that happen from there on. What also happens is in the crossfire of the shooting, Ben Parker is killed. The young private Ben Parker.
Really?
So there's no Uncle Ben to guide Peter Parker as a kid. Peter Parker...
Who will make the rice?
There's no more rice.
Ron would have laughed at that.
It's a wild rice-free world.
All right.
Basically what happens is Steve Rogers is... He's got the heart of a champion, and he won't give up that he can't contribute to the war and fight the Nazis. So the government puts him into this other secret program, which ends up him being inside the Iron Man armor.
Really?
And he's basically wired into the armor like Tony Stark was originally, where he can't take it off or he'll die. Mm-hmm. And it's an extremely painful process, but he's got the will to fight. So that's really cool. And then the other thing is Peter Parker without Uncle Ben is an asshole, and he uses his brains to like steal cars and like, you know, be the sort of criminal in school with no moral compass. And he ends up stealing a car and stumbling onto a gamma ray test site.
Wait a
minute.
If
that sounds familiar at all.
So does he become the Hulk or Rick Jones?
He hasn't yet, but he's about to.
Interesting.
So this one bullet is causing, right now, no Captain America, and Steve Rogers is Iron Man, and Peter Parker is about to become the Hulk.
And so Tony Stark must be on a huge bender.
Yes. He's just drunk.
Now, does it start in World War II?
Yes, it's World War II, so the
it's not much longer before that's not going to hold up anymore.
Well, what happens is it seems to sort of fade forward where the Steve Rogers stuff happens in World War II, cut to the 60s, mm-hmm. and Peter Parker is a kid. Right. Not a kid, a high school kid. So the main part will be probably in the 60s, I'm imagining.
Interesting.
But right, I think it's really, really good, and I thank Chris and everybody else on the site who recommended I try it. And this is actually J. Michael Straczynski at his strong suit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very impressed.
All right, so that's about the books. Is there any other books that you wanted to bring up?
Well, we should talk about a book that's not a book that came out this week. It's something that came up on the website this week.
I know what you're talking about.
We here at iFanboy love Robert Kirkman's Invincible, and we talk about it all the time, but apparently we don't talk about it correctly.
Apparently we just said read Invincible.
Yeah, apparently people on the website have said they would maybe like to try Invincible, but they don't even know what it's about.
Yeah, well, a couple of people said that they tried the first book and didn't quite so much love it. Which I don't really understand. However, I will say the big twist of the thing happens a little later, and when you really go, oh, wow, that's interesting.
That's the book two.
Yeah. Basically what it is it's a superhero book by Robert Kirkman. It's the best superhero work that Robert Kirkman is doing, I think. And it's about it's you know, like a Spider-Man story. A teenager finds out all of a sudden one day he's got lots and lots of superpowers, and he's basically... He's Superman, for all intents and purposes.
He's sort of Superman. I say Superman crossed with Green Lantern.
Okay.
Just the spirit, because he's sort of a cosmic hero who spends a lot of time fighting aliens.
Right. And in this world, there are superhero teams and other superheroes and supervillains and all that stuff. And his dad is also...
His dad is the Superman of the world.
His dad is the Superman of that world and, like, the head of that world's JLA. And it's about this guy who, at the beginning of the book, is a teenager. Currently, I think he's in college.
Yes.
And you know, it's got all that stuff that we all started loving comics for. He's discovering his powers. He's figuring out how to do things. He's meeting his first villains. And he's dealing with having a girlfriend and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, not only is there really good slam bang superhero action, but there's also really great love, you know, plot lines. There's plot lines. There's love triangles. He's got a, you know, girlfriend in high school, and then but he also kind of likes the superhero girl on the team he's on, and then
but she's dating someone else.
Yeah, and there's that thing. There's then there's really good family drama between him, his dad, and his mom.
And the thing about the book that really is impressive is like we talk about all this stuff. It sounds like '60s comics, and it's kind of sounds kind of lighthearted. But all of a sudden, like in that book, he will slam the hell out of you as the reader, and just knock you off the like the plot will take a turn, and all of a sudden things get really serious.
Yeah, those are my favorite books where it's laugh out loud funny one page and then the brakes slam on the car and it's really dark mm-hmm. all of a sudden. That's really one of the great things about the book.
But it's willing to go the whole spectrum from funny to dark very quickly.
The last trade, the most recent one, was one of the bloodiest fights I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
I mean that was gallons of blood.
But one of the things that he does constantly is like he'll get everything to a status quo point, and then all of a sudden he will throw a huge monkey wrench into things, and all of a sudden like there's a big problem and they'll have to deal with it.
There's been three or four instances in the course of the run where you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah, and I've really like we've talked about this before. I've really always found that when I'm reading those books, I cannot put them down, and they read really fast. And so I mean, I could see how it's possible you go out and you spend $10 on the first trade or whatever, and you read through it in about 25 minutes and go, well, not a lot happened. But yeah. For me, I had so much fun reading it that I don't really quite understand that. I would say give it another shot, read through it again.
It's you don't want to say by the numbers because that makes it sound rote, but it's superheroing at its core. It's like what is fun about superhero stories? Why do people respond to them? Why are they so different than anything else you can get in other mediums? And this is it. This is superhero at its basic. It's most basic.
As we're talking about, we've been using music. I would compare it to Slash, the guitarist from Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Okay. He's not doing anything amazing. He's not. But the one he does the basic thing, which is basically blues rock guitar. He does it really, really, really well. He doesn't do anything different. He's not reinventing the wheel. He's not doing anything. But the thing that he does really, really well. And that's
I don't know. The solo
for.
In Sweet Child of Mine is pretty amazing.
No, but it's not anything new. It's not like when Eddie Van Halen or Jimi Hendrix. Tom Morello.
No, he's not reinventing the wheel. He's just.
But
he's...
he does that one thing better than anybody else.
Yes.
And that's what this book seems to be doing for me. So that's kind of what Invincible is. You know, if you don't want to spend the money on it, hey, I understand that. Go to the library. A lot of people said they've gone to the library and read it there. You could also read Fables at the library. I'm hearing that more and more.
I think one of the things I really like about it I'm not reading a lot of young superhero stories.
They're all grown up now.
Yeah, everybody's an adult. Everybody's got married and have families and they're worried about all this other stuff. And there's not a lot of, like, the joy of having superpowers and being able to fly around the world the first time you experience that, or you know, just being a teen or a young adult who suddenly, you know, whose life has completely changed. And that's why everybody loved the superhero comics in the '60s, and that's sort of a throwback to this now.
Yeah, but it's done really well, and the artists that they've had on it are awesome.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's the deal. You know, go get it,
please. Where can they get that book, Josh?
They could go to our sponsor, comichole.com, who we very much appreciate. And there you can go to get discounted comics and trades. If you're in a place where you can't get to a shop, you can have them. You can subscribe to stuff, and they'll ship you stuff at a substantial discount. You can get your hardcovers and trades from 30 to 50% off. They get new stuff all the time. You go to comichole.com, which is comichole. And let them know that you heard it on iFanboy, and I can tell you for one thing, they have really good prices, and they ship real well, so your books will arrive in good shape.
Actually, I see more and more people on iFanboy talking about how they get stuff from Comicole, so they must like it because they still use it.
It's a good service, and it's, you know, it's real simple. It's not overdone. Before we get started on the mail, which is normally what we do, are you having a little cyberspace tiff?
I'm just calling out Augie DeBleek from the podcast, and I say his name wrong every time because we never knew how to say it in the past, and we would always butcher it, apparently. So it's ingrained in my head to say it wrong, and I apologize, Augie. But not too much, because he called me out on his show, the Pipeline Podcast, and I'm telling you, Augie, I hear you, and I'm coming for you.
Well, why did he call you out?
He said, I didn't like the art in last week's Jonah Hex, and apparently the artist is some big deal in Europe, and blah, 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 blah. I didn't like it.
I liked the art a lot. And Connor, Ron's not here, so we could talk about cowboy books.
Let's just do a cowboy show. Screw the mail.
All right, next up, we got some mail.
I'll go right into it.
Okay.
Because normally, this is where the show falls apart, because we're used to Ron reading the letters.
Now, oh, God, we've never done this, have we?
The first letter's from Matt. He says, hey, guys, he loves the podcast and all that stuff. He would like to chime in really quick on the wallpaper thing. He wouldn't use the wallpaper, but what he would use is a high-quality WAV file of me going, ooh, which...
Here, wait. Well, you know what? You could probably take this into like Audacity. So I'll count Connor in. 3, 2.
Ooh.
Cut. Okay, so you put that in there. You take that little bit out and you export it as a wave, and you're good to go.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, you're famous. But can
you say? All right. On to the question. What is the Wildstorm universe? Where is Ron?
Oh God, I didn't realize he wasn't going to be here.
He's heard people talking about the relaunch of Wildcats and the Authority and now Midnighter, and he doesn't get it. Recently picked up some books published by Wildstorm, Team Zero, and Battler Britain, but he gets the feeling they all aren't really connected. All
right, I can actually answer this question without Ron.
Mm-hmm.
The Wildstorm universe is a universe, but it's not as closely connected as, say, the Marvel universe. So, for example...
But it's not all connected. Some of the books are connected.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not all of the titles that come out from Wildstorm are in the Wildstorm universe. However, some of the titles that come out are part of a shared universe. Wildcats, The Authority, which would include then,
the Supreme,
you know, Midnighter, Supreme, Stormwatch. Those all exist in the shared universe.
Battler Britain is the World War II book.
In fact, Ed Brubaker's Sleeper existed in that world as
yes,
well.
Yes, Sleeper was also in that.
Which, by the way...
was awesome.
If I haven't said it more, like, it's so good.
Well, there's those superhero books, and those are all together. But then there's the other books that Wildstorm just prints. And I don't know what Team Zero is, but Battler Britain is just a World War II story that takes place in our world.
And Ex Machina is Wildstorm. It's not Wildstorm universe. So I don't know how to tell the difference between what's what. But basically, if you buy a book from Wildstorm, it's not going to necessarily be one of the Wildstorm universe books. But
right. Well,
I don't know how to tell that.
They should have an imprint.
I don't have a problem.
I don't really,
Get over it, Matt. Okay, next up is Paul from Edinburgh, Scotland. And he says it's a great podcast. He just wanted to know if we read any of the Ultimate books, because he's heard us mention Ultimate Spider-Man before, but not much about the other ones. He's a big fan of the Ultimates, like the Ultimate Fantastic Four and Ultimate X-Men, and Mark Miller was writing them. And do we think the quality of the Ultimates Volume 1 and 2 will continue under the new creative team? Cheers, Paul Rooney from Scotland. The new creative team, of course, is Jeff Loeb and who?
His Batman Superman partner, Ed McGuinness.
Ah, we'll be on the Ultimates.
I think Josh does not only he only reads you only read Spider-Man, right?
I do. I've made forays into some of them. I read Ultimate Iron Man. It was actually the first one was my pick of the week. but it didn't end so great. I read Ultimate X-Men here and there. I read like the first 20 or so, and then I read it when when Bendis was back on it. But
I read Spider-Man, X-Men, and Ultimates. I read a little bit of Fantastic Four. I liked the Warren Ellis book. Mike Carey knocked me right off the book. I did not read Iron Man. I think I read the first issue of Iron Man. Wasn't that the novelist who wrote that?
Yeah, Orson Scott Card.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. And I'm not going to be buying Ultimate Vision, I'll tell you that.
Who's doing that? Somebody. Is it Mike Carey, I think?
No, it's... Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not definitely
You
not
know what?
That.
I read the Ultimates when it first came out because, you know, that was the book to be reading. And it was, like, the thing that they did to follow up the Authority, I guess. And, the schedule got to me. I got so, like, jaded by the fact that it just would not come out that I stopped buying it.
It's very, very tough. I think I'm going to give Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness a shot.
I wasn't going to at first,
but I think I'm going to give them one issue and see what it's like.
Are you finding that Jeff Loeb on Heroes is making you want to...
Possibly. I'm more worried about the fact that you've had Brian Hitch on art for, you know, the entire run, and he's very realistic and he's got a very detailed style, and he immerses you in the world very well.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to switch.
He's going to jump to McGuinness, who's good in his own right, but it's just a completely different style, and that's going to be odd.
That's really interesting.
We'll see.
That's sort of one of those questions when you change creative teams on a book. Do you go whole hog, or do you try to stick with that same kind of?
Well,
energy?
This is whole hog.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to give it a shot. Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, we all love.
Yeah.
Up until recently, for me anyway.
We're going to get to that.
All right.
All right, the last letter, actually not the last letter. Miguel from Colombia had a fanboy question that occurred to him at work, and every once in a while, we're going to admit we love to do them. Somebody else sent us a Superman versus Hulk one, and we're not reading it. There it is.
Haven't we done that question 18 times?
Yeah,
maybe?
Just listen to any third podcast.
It's Superman.
Anyway, if Wolverine has an unbreakable adamantium skeleton, does that mean that he can't dislocate his joints? Well, of course not, because he doesn't have adamantium ligaments.
I don't know what that means. I'm not a doctor.
Well, the bones are connected by ligaments.
I don't even know how it happens when you dislocate a joint. I barely made it through science in high school.
Well, unless he had some sort of amazingly the tendons and things like that were made of something else, there's no reason they couldn't just rip the arms out of their socket.
Well, that's a good question, because, like, not everything's connected, right, by bone. There's stuff
no.
connected to stuff that stuff connects the bone to the other bone.
Ligaments and tendons.
Yeah.
You don't believe me. Somebody's going to write in and be like, I'm a doctor.
There's tubes in there. That's all I know.
The internet's a series of tubes. But that really wasn't the question that I wanted to answer.
Okay, sorry.
The next one, who would win in a fight, Deathstroke the Terminator or the Taskmaster?
I think we had a big blowout over this, didn't we?
I think we talked about it ahead of time because we couldn't come to a consensus.
My opinion is it's Deathstroke the Terminator.
Well, Deathstroke the Terminator is one of the preeminent martial artists of the DC universe, correct?
Not just martial artist, but badass. He's a mute. He's not just a martial artist. He's a meta. You know, he's got superpowers.
Okay. So, but he's real good at fighting.
He's real
basically
good at
fighting. That's his thing. And then the Taskmaster, who's from Marvel, he can mimic anybody's fighting style perfectly, having seen them only once. And so, therefore, like if he sees Captain America fight, he could theoretically defeat anybody that Captain America could defeat.
Right. Here's the thing. Deathstroke the Terminator can just shoot Taskmaster in the head.
Well, Taskmaster can use weapons.
Yeah, but he's got a gun.
Do you know what Taskmaster has? He has a costume that's completely cobbled together from all mid-70s superhero comic book cliches.
It's a badass costume.
Yeah.
I mean, in a terrible way, but it's cool in that. Like,
he's got those Captain America boots.
Right.
And a
hood. Well, so does Terminator.
Yeah. I love those boots.
Which, by the way,
kid.
Did you know that originally... he was called the Terminator, and then they had some sort of rights issue with the Terminator movies. Now he's only called Deathstroke.
And that his name is Slade Wilson, right. And of course Deadpool is Wade Wilson.
Yeah, that was a knockoff.
And Rob Liefeld said that he didn't copy him, but he clearly did.
Not in the least. Costume is almost the same.
We could go on about this for a long time, and
I don't know. I think
the Taskmaster could win.
I also think Deathstroke cheats. And he, in Identity Crisis, took out... No, was it Identity Crisis? We took out the JLA?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Identity Crisis. He took out the entire JLA. Come on.
Yeah, but now Ollie can beat him.
Well, Ollie, did you read the latest Green Arrow? Ollie took on a whole army.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. And last but not least, Patrick, whose girlfriend... This is a little twist on the traditional question. His girlfriend is always reading his comics and not putting them back where they belong, or is denting the spine, or is mistreating them in some way. He was wondering if we could recommend some books that would stop her from reading comics.
Boys. The boys.
Oh, it depends if she's the freaky kind.
First of all, lighten up.
No, this is an epidemic.
You gotta lighten up. I bend the spines.
Okay, that's fine, but part of me still recoils when I see a comic book being damaged in some way, and I can tell you how many times in my past, this doesn't happen with my wife currently, but I've had girlfriends in the past where I've been like, read some comics, and they start to, and they say they know what they're doing, and then all of a sudden they'll just roll over on it and crunch it, and I go, ah, like that, like someone's poking a nerve that's been opened.
But that, you know, that's not just comics, that's just respect for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was a book... You know, or
my point is, a lot of them they don't know it's paper. They don't think of it like anything. It's like a magazine or anything like that. So there's no.
Well, I think the deeper issue here is seems to be a lack of respect just for his stuff in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there seems to be a deeper issue, Patrick.
Don't let her drive your car. That's what I would.
Well, what
do.
Book would you tell him to give her? I'd say The Boys, because that's full of misogyny.
There's no problem out there going out.
Oh, Cerebus.
I was just thinking, just go get an issue of like. You know, Martian Manhunter. Just a regular old superhero
comics.
There you go. just get a regular old, you know, pretty much any superhero comic that's in the middle of an arc. She's not going to want to read any of them.
Or you could go the 90s, I don't know, Cable and the Mutants, X-Force. I'm not saying there's a thread in that series of books.
Oh, Jesus. Good thing Ron's not here.
X-Factor? Oh, not X-Factor. What was the one? What was the one from Image? We need Ron's late 90s knowledge of
this. We're tanking. Just listen to pretend it didn't happen.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we got our first email. Moving along. I'm moving along. All right, is from someone you may know.
Hello, true believers. This is Stan the Man Lee. Love your show. I have a question. There's this beautiful girl at my comic book shop, and I want to ask her out. And also, why do I sound like Gilbert Gottfried? Excelsior!
Dude, he totally stole my joke.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. You need to get a better phone.
We should say that Stanley, if that is your name, Ron is a huge fan. Not that we don't like you, but Ron is like a especially huge fan of your calls. Stanley has called before. They're all very overmodulated.
So you may want to try the landline in your office.
Yeah.
I've been in that office, by the way. He has a life-size Spider-Man poster. Or not poster, statue.
You'd think you would.
Yeah.
God, so, Stanley, we enjoy your calls. Keep them coming. Just try to find a phone that doesn't make my ears bleed when you do it.
All right. The next one comes from Jan.
Hi, this is Jan from the message board. I had a question for you guys for your anniversary episode. My question is, who would win in a fight, Thor, Superman, or Ron's sideburns?
Thanks. Ooh.
Clearly it's Ron's sideburns.
Yeah, I think so. See, we can do stuff like this when Ron's not here, because we don't have to go, listen. We know why he started those, right?
The sideburns?
Yeah.
It's a combination of Dylan McKay and Morrissey.
Yeah, 90210 and a sad man from Manchester.
He's going to beat the crap out of us when he hears this show.
I just like that I know that guy's name is Jan and not Jan, which would be much more alpine. And next up, we've got Andy Lawler.
Hey, guys. Love the podcast. It's Andy Lawler from Charlotte, North Carolina, hoping for a Democratic victory. What's up with Ultimate Spider-Man? I was just rereading a couple issues from the past. It is just, I think, the most consistently good comic being written today that has superheroes in it. And ever since I started this clone saga, not only is it bad, I don't know what is going on. Help me, iFanboy. You're my only hope.
Well, what happened was that was a really bad storyline. And a bad time to have a bad storyline when you're hitting your 100th issue. But clearly, you can't even do the clone saga in a postmodern, ironic way.
Do you kind of respect him for trying it?
Yeah, I mean, it takes balls to revisit the darkest period of Marvel's recent history, but it was not very good. I did not like it at all. I liked each issue less than I liked the one before it.
I really didn't mind it. For whatever reason. I don't know why.
Because you are Bizarro Josh.
You're
not the guy that started this show.
It was just crazy.
Where is he?
It was just so weird. He just kept
flinging things.
Did you
leave him in L.A.?
Yeah. Ever since I got here, I love crappy
Your personality is different. You've changed. Who are you?
I had to adjust to move to New York. That's all. It's not that bad. And it'll be over. This is one of those things where comic fans tend to...
No, I'm not saying the series is bad. I'm just saying the storyline sucks. I'm waiting for the next one.
Well, one storyline out of 100 issues is
No, it's
bad.
A good track record. It's just that, you know, you get so used to comics that are good being always good, like Powers and Ex Machina and Daredevil. And then when they have a bad storyline, you're like, whoa, this is...
Well, the other thing that happens is that we don't get to see a whole story before we start commenting on it. Like, you know, it's never that you would watch the first 15 minutes of a TV show and then get on the web and start talking about how much it sucks before they came back after the first
people do that.
Weeks. Well, those people
definitely do that.
Well, they have
but
problems.
I'm just saying I don't see where anything that can happen that's going to make redeem this story.
It'll end.
That's redeemable.
Yeah. I think that there is one last
Kirby.
Kirby.
Hey guys, this is Kirby from Orlando. I've been listening to you guys for quite a while. You've been doing a good job. I am currently calling you while I'm driving, which you told us not to do, but I'm not listening. I'm doing it anyway. I was just calling to see what you guys thought about the TV show Heroes. So far, the stand-up character seems to be the Japanese character of Hiro. He seems to be the coolest character on the show. I just wanted to see what you thought of it so far. I think that it's got some good ideas, and I'll be following it for a while and see what direction you're taking. I think sometimes the writing is a little cheesy. Also, the acting occasionally is a little bit wooden. I think they could have found a couple of better actors. But overall, I enjoy the show, and like I said, it's definitely in the comic book universe. I was interested to hear what you guys thought about it. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and I'll call in again. Bye.
I can guess a couple of things about Kirby. One, I think he might work in radio.
That was my first reaction.
And two, I think he was hang gliding. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, that's not safe at all.
No, and it's not.
That's not in the regs.
Actually, he said he was driving, but he was driving his hang glider. Heroes, Connor.
Kirby, we have a... Kirby's probably like many of you, or most of you, who listen to the podcast but don't go to iFanboy.com, and every Monday night we have a long, very cool, interesting Heroes discussion after it ends. We have a post about it, and people come on after the show and talk about it and analyze it, discuss it.
A thread goes up on Monday before the East Coast show, usually.
Yes.
So and they've been pretty long. Last week was kind of short, but it's a great place to go talk about it, and there are dissenting opinions. All iFi Fanboy, we get together, we watch it together.
Yes, it's our Monday night thing.
It's our Monday night thing with the resurrected full 60. Season of Studio 60. It's a good show. You're absolutely dead on that Hero is probably the most interesting character for the same reason that we were talking about Invincible.
Yes.
It's a guy he's fun. He likes having his powers. He's enjoying the discovery of it. Your other point about the acting and the writing, these are some of the things we get into in the threads, and they've been said ad nauseum there. I can tell you that Connor and I don't agree on anything.
No, I agree with you that Peter is
he's not horrible.
A good actor.
He's not horrible. I think he's actually getting a little better.
Yeah.
I might
have a bad taste from when he was on Gilmore Girls.
Maybe.
Might be coloring my opinion.
Just tune in next week when Ally Lauder tries to close her mouth.
Ugh.
Oh!
Too much of her.
Yeah, there's
too much.
So go to the site and post there, but it's a good show. And,
yeah, go to iFanboy.com on Monday. Usually put the thread up in the afternoon, and then it goes on all night. So.
Yep. Cool. Connor, you're the master of that which fraps.
Frapper. We haven't actually talked about the Frapper because last week we had this anniversary show and didn't mention it, but we blew past 500 in the intervening time. We're at 510 right now, which is pretty cool. The new people are Brian from California and another Brian from Huntley, Illinois, and Ray Phillip from Granada Hills, also from California, Eric from Chicago, Roger from Lafayette, Lindsay from Chicago, Kevin from Bolivar, Zek from Madison. I thought it was Zach, but it's Zek. Andrew Franklin from Brockville, Ontario in Canada, and Devin from Hawaii.
Perhaps it's comic book artist Mike Zek.
Maybe. But it's it's an H. It's Zek.
Zek.
I like Zek.
By the way, in case you're a new listener, you don't know the Frapper map, you can get to by going to Frapper, frapper.com/ifanboy, or you can get there through our website, ifanboy.com. There's a banner in the upper right-hand corner. It's a map, and you place your pin on there, and you can see where all the iFanboy listeners are, and they're all over the globe, which is so cool.
Look at that one up there in Alaska all by itself.
Also, I just wanted to take this quick moment.
India, there's a billion of you. Come on.
Somebody mentioned, but there was a bunch of people on that Frapper map from L.A.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I got an email from the guy whose comic shop I used to go to when I lived there, Ed at Collector's Paradise, which is in Winnetka. Ed was around when I started iFanboy.com, and he's like, so anybody go on your site yet? I was like, nope, not yet. And so he's like, there's people listening, and they come to my store. So there you go. I also wanted to take it on the promotion front. Chris over at comicaddiction.com put up a banner for iFanboy over to site, and I wanted to thank him for that. So if you want to check out his site, he does comic reviews.
That was very cool.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. So right back at you. Go over to comicaddiction.com. And then, of course, when you've had enough of everything else, you should go to ifanboy.com. And we talk about, like we said, we talk about Heroes. And then there's the Pick of the Week thread where we talk about all the books that we don't have time to get to. Because, Connor, you had like
15 books. It took me 2 days.
We don't have time to do them all on the podcast. But that's the place where you can go and say, talk about the books that you like. And as always, the conversation there is some of the best stuff that I've seen on the web for comics. Where you can talk about superhero books and other kind of books, and there's not a lot of snobbery, but it's also, not a lot of mudflinging. It's good times.
And if you want to email us and say, hey, don't ever do the show without Ron again.
Which you will want to.
You can write to contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, which is 1-888-FANBOYS. Don't call 1-800-FANBOYS. We cannot be held responsible for what you might hear. 1-888-FANBOYS is 326-2697. You can call us with comments or questions, leave a voicemail. We like listening to the voicemails. We're getting a lot of letters, a lot of voicemails, which is good. We're having trouble fitting them all into the show. So, make them good. Make the voicemails short and sweet and to the point, and tell us who you are and where you're from. And in the email front, we're getting a lot of emails.
Previously, we've said if you email us, we will definitely write you back. It's getting harder.
We're not going to not write you back. It's just going to take longer than normal.
Yeah, so
we're still going to do them. We just bear with us. Don't get grumpy if it takes a few weeks to get a reply to your email.
But we're getting a lot that we do not have time to put everything on the podcast, unfortunately. So, you know, but that just means that you got to work a little harder, a little more competition.
Make them good.
Yep. So,
and we get it. I'm creepy. Move on. Find a new email topic.
Yeah, that joke has really been done to death.
Josh and Ron sound the same. Blah, I'm blah, creepy. Blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, you could also help promote us a little bit if you want to, please. You can go to our MySpace page and be our friend at myspace.com/ifanboy. Or you could go and leave a review for us in iTunes, which would be helpful. We have a lot of great reviews, and like I got to tell you, when I read them, like, it really means a lot to us. It's very, very cool.
Yes. He cries a little.
I do.
Just one tear. One lonely tear down the street.
Very nice of people to go do that. Or you go to Podcast Alley and vote for us, or Podcast Pickle, and I don't know what you do there. Fling a pickle in a barrel, something like that. And of course, you can always tell people about the podcast if you talk about it in your comic shops, things like that. That always helps, and we appreciate that.
Yes. Or if you want to really help us out, you can donate some cash. You can go to ifanboy.com/donations, click on the donate box on the website.
Use PayPal or a credit card.
Yeah, you don't even need a PayPal account. You can just throw some cash if you feel so inclined.
Help bring Ron back.
Ron is stuck in San Francisco.
We need money to bring Ron back. Only you can help. For $22 a month. Wait, no, that's Sally Struthers.
Oh, God, put this show out of its misery.
Oh, God, I think that's it for this week's show. I think.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh, and we have a big empty hole where the great sideburned kid should be.
Next week, see ya.
Sing along with the common people. Sing along, and it might just get you through. Laugh along, even though they're laughing at you and the stupid things that you do, because you think that poor is cool.